Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be, and we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings.
Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Little daughter, you are so small for a big woman, so soft for someone who must be so strong. Little daughter, I hold you in my arms, I laugh and am happy at your baby girl smile. To say I feel good is not enough. Little daughter, I walk with you through the dimension called time. For what are minutes, days, or years compared to father-daughter places in eternity? Little daughter, you the delicate infant child, carry the innocent reality. I pray for your protection, prayers to help you through this life experience. Little daughter, the times I hold you next to me, I am flowing an infinity of love to fill the times I cannot hold you next to me. Little daughter, I am always with you, even when you cannot see me there. Sister, sister, I want to talk to the woman in you. We're under siege in a troubled time. Sister, sister, won't you hear my voice? I'm your brother, but I've made the mistakes of a man. Sometimes it's lonely being a man. The programming has its effect. Isolation is such a cruel thing. Sister, sister, won't you understand? They took your brothers, turned them into men. Like they took our sisters, turned them into women. Sister, sister, we are all the family of Earth. They have taken us away in their nuclear war. Taught us to compete and abuse and blame each other while we're all being used. Sister, sister, hear my heart. It's time to bring the family back. Together we must remember Earth. We must remember what life is all about. Sister, sister, I am your brother. Every time I've ever hurt you, I've always hurt myself. Sister, sister, hear my voice. It's all up to us. We have a choice. Crystal clear tears of salt come when my heart talks with sadness. The tears flow my emotional rivers. It's no damn use to pretend. Pain will not rise again. Crystal clear tears of salt help my heart to feel for something when I do not want to. Clear my vision, see my peace. Men don't cry. Indians are stoic. I tell that to my heart, my eyes. They just laugh at me. And sometimes when my spirit hurts, they make me cry. Crystal clear, tears of salt. Purify my memory. Help me understand. This is not the beginning, nor the end. For my children, to the people I can talk. When it comes to you, I know what to say. It's I just don't know how. I love you, but that's not a question. Showing it has been confusing. My life has drifted all ways. Somehow I could just never stay. I've rationalized I'm headed to a goal. Yet sometimes my heart hears me running to a future. Always from the past. I love you. Don't want you hurt. I want you to realize your potential. I've always been afraid to interfere. My bias, my prejudice, my doubt, the weaker sides of me. I had to protect you, make you stronger. Compassion is to be your companion as you head to your destiny. I've tried the only way I knew. Please try to understand. I didn't know what else to do. And I love you. Yesterday's laughter is the balance for today. Today's tears are the cleansing for tomorrow. We started out so long ago. There was no one to teach us what we had to know. The days were ours. The times, they were extreme. We did our best and we did our worst in the constant struggle to understand why. Illusions and fantasies battering us, teaching us the hard way, forcing us to find a right way. Shelter and comfort coming where we found it. Constantly moving, it was like being chased by something we did not understand. Many are the times we could have just laid down and died, but the will of life helped us to survive. As we travel through life, with yesterday's laughter, the balance for today, and today's tears, the cleansing for tomorrow. Young ones, listen. Remember who we are. Remember where we are. Do not take the word of America. Listen to them as in caution. Live among them as in surrounded. Live not as they live. Live to appreciate. Seconds ago in eternity, ancient ones decided. Way before wounded spirits, dreams shattering under aggression. Earth is mother. We are children. The protection is our innocence. Seconds ago it was decided. We are the middle of forever. Look for your medicine. There is a white world gone mad. Thinking protection is in force. Greed, the machine preys on them, but they will not admit it or do anything about it. They have no medicine, with backs turned on children and elders. They do not even care for air or water or land or life. Too confused to care is no way to live. Young ones, listen. Remember who you are. Remember where you are. Remember why you are.
from Dakota singer, songwriter, poet, Native American activist, our brother John Trudell, from his 1983 Tribal Voice cassette. The song was entitled The Cleansing. And this is program 3 in our very special series, my conversation with Robert Graygrass. Hey, greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Native Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. In today's broadcast, we are very honored to share a visit with my friend, Mr. Robert Graygrass. Robert is a well-respected actor, storyteller, and wellness counselor. He is one of the finest American Indian playwrights. Robert's native theater, Ixchiwikasa, has performed nationally and internationally. Theater Ixchiwikasa description in Robert's brochure states, and I quote, "Ixchiwikasa is Lakota for common man. In performance, I combine drumming, singing, ritual, poetry, and stories that guide the audience from natural law before the creation of Turtle Island to life on and off the reservation today. Native American heritage includes great thinkers, statesmen and women, warriors, and common people unknown to mainstream America. I founded Theater Ixchiwikasa to present the humor, pathos, genius, and the philosophical reality of Native people as a part of world philosophy," unquote. Robert's production company, D. White Dog Productions, has two acclaimed stage performances. They include Walking on Turtle Island and Ghost Lands of an Urban Indian. Both of these wonderful theater performances takes the audience through a variety of characters, giving a view of Native America. His plays are powerful, original masterpieces. I encourage all of our Wolf Mountain Native Radio listeners to attend his theater whenever possible. His website, www.robertgraygrass.org, provides a calendar of his performance schedule. In addition to his extensive theater, TV, and film credentials, Mr. Graygrass's school programs provide students with an authentic view of both historical and contemporary Native life. As a Native American educator myself, I recommend his school presentations and classroom workshops. As longtime listeners to Wolf Mountain Native Radio know, we here at Yat Kiddushi Native Center have always been concerned about the health and well-being of Indigenous peoples, especially since many of our Native communities continue to suffer from alcohol, substance abuse, and other social traumas. Many of our broadcasts have focused on health and wellness. Robert Graygrass is likewise concerned and involved with this important work. He is a trained drug and alcohol counselor with many years of experience. His residencies, workshops, in camps and treatment centers has helped many. We are very grateful for his work in this important area. I first had the honor to meet Robert Graygrass at a historic conference in Powwow sponsored by Radio for Peace International in 1992. The gathering was entitled Peace in the Planet, Native Wisdom, Native Rights, and Mother Earth. This event brought many Indigenous and non-Native people together from different parts of the world in order to dialogue on important cultural and environmental issues. Robert shared his Walking on Turtle Island performance at that gathering. We then had the honor 12 years later to meet Mr. Graygrass again when he performed Walking on Turtle Island here in Southwest Florida's venue, Theater Conspiracy. During the week, the 1 week run of his play in Fort Myers, Florida, we were gifted to have Robert visit and stay with us, which allowed us the opportunity to have him here in our studio, as well as visit friends on the Seminole Big Cypress Reservation. It is indeed Yat Kiddushi Native Center's honor to welcome Mr. Robert Graygrass to Wolf Mountain Radio.
Robert Graygrass, I'm Lakota and Salagi and European mixed. My family's from South Dakota and other parts of Turtle Island. Currently living in Oregon, have been for about 24 years. I'm an actor and a storyteller, grandfather, and live on the Red Road in the best way that I can by Lako Wichoha, the Lakota way of being. I've been performing one-man shows and doing storytelling and writing poetry for about 10 years now, and working with teenagers and young people in wellness and sobriety for about 18 years, maybe 19 years.
My next question to you, sir, relates to protecting Mother Earth, defending our sacred lands from desecration. In my Wabanaki language, we say, Lusitigamu, protecting Mother Earth, which is a primary concern of us here at Yaikidashi Nature Center. As you know, our organization works to defend Mother Earth by fighting energy, environment, and natural resource issues around the globe, especially as they impact indigenous and tribal peoples. And we are very honored to be part of the international environmental justice movement. I know you as Lakota also are concerned about the rape of Mother Earth and the destruction and desecration of sacred places like the Lakota holy place, now in English called the Black Hills Pahasapa. In 2000, Betty and I had the honor to participate in Lakota Chief Abel Looking Horse's World Peace and Prayer Day ceremonies in Pahasapa, and we saw firsthand the legacy of energy and natural resource exploitation to those very sacred places, primarily dating back as far as, of course, General Custer, when he was an army soldier helping to bring a party of prospectors into the Black Hills to exploit the gold resources. And of course, there's uranium and water and the logging of forests and other minerals. And it's very tragic and sad to me how now in the current times Mother Earth is really feeling the pain of all this destruction and desecration. Would you talk about what it means to you as a Native person to see Mother Earth being destroyed so much, and perhaps share some comments you have about the destruction and desecration of sacred holy places like the Lakota Pahasapa?
It's connected to what we said earlier about Christianity. Christianity is saving your soul to get to heaven, which tends to leave an irresponsibility here on earth, or a destructive way of thinking here on earth. And I don't think Jesus taught that. I think Jesus was probably an earth man, wandered around in the back country, you know, living off the land, so to speak. And Native people, all our ceremonies are tied right to the earth. When we pray, we talk to the four directions, we talk to the animal nations, the Wamukashka, the Wonyatrozi, the green breathers, the Maniwichone, the sacred water of life, the Iya, the rock, the Preta, the fire. We talk to, we don't worship these things, we talk to them as relatives, just like I'm sitting here talking to you. That's how I was understood. That's how I was taught to understand what I'm doing wearing skin. And so if you view the rest of this earth as a relative, maybe you'd be less inclined to do damage. It's connected, the whole industrial process is connected to, it is whole. It's intellectual, emotional, spiritual, and physical. And so if it's okay to rape the Mother Earth, it's okay to rape women, two-legged women, or men. If it's okay to mine and destroy the Black Hills for gold and silver or any place else, then it's okay to mine and destroy a person's soul. If it's okay to cut all the trees, then it's okay to starve or neglect a human being. That's just the thinking of it. And that's the disconnect that the industrial people behave in. Chief Sealth told them a long time ago, he said, once all the forests are gone and all the waters are polluted, only then will you realize you cannot eat money. We live in these modern times, we're using money, and there's a real challenge to be a modern earth person. And again, it's back to that evolutionary step that we're in spiritually. The environmental movement is a good thing, and a lot of the, quote, hippie nation and the New Age nation, they lean toward earth-oriented practice and medicine and environmental health, and that's good. There's also a movement in Indian America. I see a lot of young biologists and scientists getting their forestry and their
environmental science.
Yeah, all the environmental sciences, and they are fusing or synthesizing Native teachings in that. That's how some of them are structuring their PhDs and their master's degrees. And that's good, because that's part of the evolution in the thinking process and in the social process that we're living in. So I am positive that way, because our language, our songs, our ceremonies is right there with the earth. It's about keeping everything in balance. That's partly why we have all these new diseases popping up. New sicknesses and diseases not only come from the actual material toxicity, but the spiritual toxicity. if we're not happy in our skin, if we're not happy in the environment, then we trigger back on ourselves to get ourselves out of here. So let's get sick, let's be sick and die so we can get on. That's a pretty natural response to environmental process. It's kind of the dissociative behaviors that become very profound and becomes within our system, within an individual system of spiritual, emotional, intellectual, and physical. When you have that thought of being completely uncomfortable and toxed out in the environment you live in, then your own whole system will turn back on itself, causing sickness, causing illness. And that will become a collective conscious, which will create it in society. That's what we're seeing. A separation from the Earth Mother, because the Earth Mother is a natural cleansing process, a natural purification process. And all of our processes are about that. Fasting, sweat lodge, crying for a vision, using certain herbs and plants to purify and detox the body. Most humans have moved away from that. As Native people, that's the Red Road, a resurgence of those kind of practices. So once again, I'm saying it's connected to that spiritual evolution, and I hope that that's the direction that we're going. To really know that we live on this earth, that our skin is part of this earth, and that's our experience.
Aishi Gaisha, from time to time, no attention is paid to mine. I feel for you, not just for me, my heart beats on. Why can't you see?
Oneida singer-songwriter Joanne Shenandoah from Canyon Records CD Volume 2, Voices Across the Canyon. Her song was entitled Mother Earth Speaks. My guest in the studio is Mr. Robert Graygrass, a fine actor, playwright, storyteller, and wellness counselor. I'm very honored to have him visit our home. As a brother warrior, he represents Native people in a good way. My next question focuses on American patriotism and how many of our Indian people seem to be so gung-ho in support of America. At powwows, for example, I have difficulty with parading the American flag in the circle. I've wondered for many years why many Native Americans willingly pledge allegiance to the U.S. flag, whose stars and stripes to me represents a violent, oppressive history of abuse and conquest over indigenous nations. Even as a kid, I would not stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance or sing the national anthem in school, which often got me in trouble. I respect our Indian tradition of honoring warriors, but fighting on the side of the U.S. military is something that troubles me as an indigenous person who knows much about the many years of war America has waged on Mother Earth and indigenous peoples and poor peoples all over the world. Many of my heroes have been those Indian warriors who have fought to protect Mother Earth and our tribal peoples from American colonization. In addition, under the Bush-Cheney administration's Patriot Act, for example, so-called civil rights have become more restricted and under attack. Part of American patriotism, besides supporting the U.S. war in Iraq, is not questioning America's energy development schemes. If one does, then you are labeled unpatriotic. For Native America, this really troubles me. What are your thoughts on this, sir?
Yeah, we've always honored the warriors, always. So when someone chooses to be a Marine or Air Force or Navy or Army, whatever, we honor that person. In the last couple of years, I've been asked to MC some powwows back in Oregon where I live. And when I do that MC, we ask people to stand for the grand entry, and they always bring in those flags. But most important, there's always at least one Eagle Staff in front of those flags. And that's the one I talk about as an MC. I don't even recognize. I mean, if we have a color guard and they want to say, okay, this person's carrying the American flag, this one's carrying the POW flag, this one's Canadian flag, this one's Oregon flag, this one's their tribal flag, I give that. But I don't talk about those flags. If there's another man who's MCing that's a veteran and he wants to talk about those flags, that's his way. I talk about that Eagle Staff because that's what leads the way. And I usually say something like, well, this is Indian country. This Eagle Staff will always lead the way in Indian country. Or whatever people you are, way up north, they have raven feathers. Native American church, they have different bird feathers, you know, like that. So those feathers will always go in front of anything else that's here. And that we will always honor the warrior. It's not about patriotism. It's not about not patriotism. It's about the warrior. If this country had been dominated and occupied by France, our warriors would be fighting for France. It wouldn't matter what country came over here and colonized and occupied, our warriors would still be our warriors. And that's how I view them. When I was in high school, I didn't say the Pledge of Allegiance. I remember I would stand and put a clenched fist over my heart and not speak. And teachers would look at me, once in a while they'd give me a hard time, but I just, what are you going to make me say the words?
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And I have an AIM flag, one with the warrior on it. I fly that usually on the 4th of July and things. Or if I have access to an American flag, I might put it upside down. I saw at a powwow a long time ago, the color guard came in, and on the Army flag that they were carrying, they had ribbons of battles that particular company or division had been involved in. Turns out that this was a branch of the 7th Cavalry, and they had wounded knee on their staff for their flag. And this was at a powwow. And I asked a couple of brothers about it, and all they did was shrug their shoulders. They just didn't know what to say. What can you say? The time that we live in is the time that we live in. And I'm not... This is the time that we live in. And I am... My allegiance, if you will, is to all of life and all of creation, to God, to life. Dedicated to people and helping in the ways that I can. I see these bumper stickers all over the place. United we stand, united we stand, united we stand. But if you speak out about problems on racism, a screwed up economy, a really dysfunctional national policy and international policies, a tax system that's going sideways, an education system that's in the toilet, if you speak out on those things, all of a sudden you're an enemy. So when I see this United We Stand bumper, I have doubts about the authenticity of true patriotism. America, they always say, America's founded on freedom. Let's keep our freedom in place. You don't have to attack me with your bad attitude about how free you are. If these people are genuine, they will reverse the Patriot Act, they will eliminate Homeland Security, and they will return to their constitutional law. Constitutional law is akin to treaty law, and the sovereignty between the United States and all the Indian peoples. If they really want to be patriots to what they believe, what their fundamental beliefs are, that's the direction they'll go. And I think that's all I have to say about that.
Native American music from Turtle Island Records. That song we just heard was entitled Indian Nations from Grant Severite. Robert, you and I share not only a love of our indigenous peoples, but also understand the responsibility of trying to help our next generation, our young people, come up in leadership so that we can continue on our cultural ways into the future. I teach a course at Florida Gulf Coast University in environmental justice, and I'm able to mentor a number of young people and also our Wakachobi project, of Yaakitishi Native Center works with a number of indigenous young people in environmental education, social justice work, and this is very important to me. I know you are part of a very fine academic summer camp program called Conaway Nakatilakam. Would you please share your insight into this?
There is a Native American academic camp called Conaway Nakatilakam. And Conaway Nakatilakam means all my relations in the Chinook trade jargon from up around the Northwest. This particular summer camp has been running for about 9 years. It was founded by David West and James Florendo. David West is Potawatomi and James Florendo is Wasco from Warm Springs. Aggie Pilgrim is Sillette's Takilma elder, and she's on the board and the resident elder of the camp. And there are many other people involved. And I've worked for the camp for about 8 years. I haven't worked for them for the last 2 years, as I just am gone on the road doing what I do. But I thought that they needed a scholarship fund, because they're a very unique organization. I don't think there's a model anywhere in America doing what they do. They're a 10-day program in the summer, academic-oriented and culture-oriented. So they're very international, intertribal in their approach, and any Native kid from the fourth grade through college is invited to apply. You have to keep a certain grade average and be focused on school and have an interest in college and those kind of things as a Native person. And I believe they get students from all around the Northwest, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, California. I started a scholarship called Speaking of Oral Tradition. And the scholarship is specific to acting and performance art, because that was what I taught when I was there, and we always did a presentation. The Oregon Shakespeare Festival is right there in Ashland, and the camp occurs on the Southern Oregon University campus, which is also in Ashland. And the camp has cooperations with Southern Oregon University, with the Shakespeare Festival, and some of the tribal organizations around the Oregon area. And as an actor, I ran an acting class, and we always did some performance. The Shakespeare Festival let us use their green show stage, and so at the end of the week, we would do a public performance, which was a lot of fun. And so, since I can't be there any longer, I started that scholarship fund. And anyone who would like to contribute to Native American kids to go to this camp, they're expanding it to a 3-week program. I don't know what the fee is for a kid to go, but it's been seeded with several hundred dollars, and it's called Speaking of Oral Tradition. It's for Conaway Nakatilakam at Southern Oregon University, and anyone is invited to donate funds for that scholarship for kids to go to that camp.
Today, Robert, Betty, and I had kind of a fun afternoon. We went out to the Big Cypress Seminole Indian Reservation, the Everglades, and visit some friends and see some artwork there. And on the way home, a beautiful sunset and great blue herons and red shoulder hawks were flying and gators in the water. My mind was thinking about the beauty of Mother Earth and the beauty of our planet. And many of our listeners know that I'm very proud to be a Wabanaki person, a Native person from what's now called the Northeast. And my brother here is Lakota heritage, and Betty being Sapani Blackfoot. The point I'm making is we all have different tribal nations, cultures. But I was thinking about the commonality and the universality of human beings and of just us as peoples, as two-leggeds, and the importance for everyone to respect one another and not get caught up in all these divisions to the point that we become separated. Because I think if you learn from a lot of the real traditional indigenous wisdom keepers from many tribal nations all over the world, one of the most common expressions is that we are all human beings and we're all related, and that while we should be proud of our individual tribal nations, we shouldn't let that cloud our vision of humanity. And my question is maybe a way of sharing this concept of having respect for all cultures, for all peoples. And I think because this is international radio,
a lot of times I get on a soapbox and I might say something that might sound anti-white or anti-European, because I talk a lot about the environment and the destruction to Mother Earth. I talk a lot about cultural histories of different indigenous peoples all over the world, and unfortunately a lot of that history stems from the conquest of the European peoples and the conquistador peoples. But I really think we need to also emphasize the importance of global humanity and the importance of people coming together in this time, in the new millennium, and especially for young Native people out there on the res or in the cities. I really hope that while you can be proud of being from your tribal nation, our words and thoughts will also encourage you to travel the world and learn from different cultural peoples and cultural paths. That's not to say that we should necessarily adopt everything that we see. I've spent some time in Lakota country, but I've always been courteous and respectful. Well, that's Lakota, and I come from a different nation, and while I'll watch the ceremonies and learn and participate in what I'm invited to, I don't try to be a Lakota or adopt Lakota. And similarly, I'm sure that's true for other nations. But would you talk specifically to our young people, especially those in the rural reservation communities, about having respect for all peoples and breaking out of this narrow-minded kind of Indian concept that we some have from sometimes only thinking of our own tribes?
It's hard to not, I mean, because we've just always been tribal and always had our own ways, whatever people you are. Racism is a new thing. You know, we had our enemies, whoever they were, whatever tribe you were, from California to Maine, you know, the Central Plains down here in Florida. There were always other Indian enemies long before the Europeans came. But I'm not familiar with any wars being fought for genocide. We fought wars on the plains, stealing women and children and horses to gain honors for yourself, to gain wealth for yourself. People did get killed, but that wasn't the purpose of war. I mean, it happened, but that wasn't, you didn't annihilate everybody. So that kind of old school thinking of separate tribe against tribe, divide and conquer, is kind of a natural state for people. And I'm sure that's all over the world. However, we live in these modern times today, and there's something here in America, here on Turtle Island, called America. And that something is an occupation of industrial nature, ownership and selfishness and privilege. And so as Indian people, we need to get beyond those divisions, those tribal resentments, or, well, we can't worry about you because we're taking care of our treaty, or we can't work together over there because we got our stuff. I mean, there's a certain amount of truth in that you got to take care of your own land base and your own people's needs. And how can we create a strong international nationalism as Native American people? I'm not sure what that means exactly. I know there's been many different organizations who meet in Washington, D.C. and other parts of the world, or other parts of Turtle Island, doing their best to work in unity as Native American people. But it's more than that. It's more than an organization. It has to be a shift in consciousness and in our hearts and our minds as indigenous people, to just really be internationally national. So much of it has to do with the wellness movement and putting aside our sicknesses, our dysfunctions of alcoholism and domestic violence, and living outside of our own customs and cultures. We are the seventh generation, and so we always refer back to that seventh generation. And this is the change time, the purification time, and we're seeing it. It ain't the end of the world like some gloom and doomers would have us believe. It's not an Armageddon. We don't have to have all that. We have influence through our thoughts and our prayers and our actions and our feelings. As Native people, we have a lot of doctoring of our feelings to take care of. We've been doing a good job of that these last 30 years, and we need to accelerate it, I believe. Because our feelings are so hurt and so full of pain that when those feelings motivate thoughts and prayers and actions, they can be, then our thoughts, prayers, and actions would be contaminated or influenced by feelings of pain. I was taught that those feelings are teaching feelings. They're not negative, they're not bad. You know, things like loss, grief, sadness, anger, rage, anxiety, fear, suffering. Those kind of thought feelings are to teach us how to become more beautiful and more in the happiness. So if we can doctor our feelings, then our thoughts and our prayers, our intentions, our actions will become more whole and more beautiful as we go forward in this purification time as the seventh generation. And it will allow us to teach the first of the next generation how to go into the next cycle of seven generations. I mean, the second and third generations are already here. They got their skin on. They're on the ground. So we, as the seventh generation of this most recent cycle, really have to mature and develop ourselves in all of the intelligences, whatever they are, emotional, intellectual, spiritual, and physical, so that we can be whole enough to hand on something really powerful soon. This young boy was going to go on his journey to find understanding of his life, and his family told him, well, you know how to do that. The spiritual journey is to climb that mountain. Way over there you see that sacred mountain. And he said, I know how to climb that mountain. They said, yeah, you know how to live, to make fire, the right roots, berries, how to hunt, how to gather, how to sleep, make shelter. You know how to do those things, so that'll be your journey. Get to the top of that mountain and you'll have understanding of life. In these modern times, we know how to live. We know how to drive a vehicle, go to work, keep our home clean, use the technology, things like that. So we know how to live. Well, the boy started his journey, and as he got partway up, it got colder and colder as he climbed the high altitudes. He came in a clearing and there was a snake. And the snake couldn't move because it was so cold. But he could talk, and he said, hey, nephew, help me out, pick me up, take me down to the sunshine where it's warmer and I can move around. I can't move here, I'm cold and full of pain. The boy said, no, you're a snake, you'll bite me. I know you. No, I won't bite you. Be a good relative, pick me up and take me to where I need to be, help me out. No, you're a snake, you'll bite me. Well, the snake talked a long time and convinced the boy to pick him up. And the boy, in his kindness, picked him up, and he headed back down the mountain away from his original journey. And when they got down to where the sunshine was warmer and the air was warmer, the snake, he bit the boy. He threw him down. Hey, you promised you wouldn't bite me. The snake said, you knew what I was when you picked me up. And he slithered off into the grass. And the boy, he had to find his way back to his family, and it was a long journey because he was sick with the poison and he had lost his way. And he had become confused. Finally, his family found him sick and delirious, and they brought him back to the camp, and they doctored him for a long time with all the right medicine, made him well. It took him a long time to recover his life. When we think about the toxicities of culture and the detox of culture that we need to go through, the detox of drug and alcohol, of dysfunctional behavior, dysfunctional thinkings, all the pains and the detoxes that have been, or the toxicities that have been heaped on us because of the lies of some representation or some representative from that world. Those are the things that this story talks about. And sometimes we get damaged and we have to return to our family, return to our traditions, return to our healthy, beautiful ways so we can be doctored up. And it can take a time, it can take a long journey to undo that painful teaching. Well, this boy got well and doctored, and he went back on his journey, and he went clear to the top of the mountain, and he had his understanding of life and his beautiful connection with the Creator as he stands on this Earth Mother. And he came back and lived with his family a long time. Those are the things we can see from this story about how we live today. The same kind of metaphor, which could distract us from a beautiful journey in life and cause us pain and suffering. And sometimes that's just the way it is. We're born beautiful and pure. We're given gifts to learn with, which is sometimes pain and suffering and loss. We take those gifts on, we learn and we grow from them, and then we continue on our journey. So I'm grateful that I could be here and talk on the radio with you. I hope and pray that everyone nearby who's listening and hears these words has some inspiration. You know, if you're not angry, I think you're not paying attention. If you're weary and tired, well, that's, you should tell someone and get some help. If you're depressed or in some kind of spiritual mental illness, that's understandable. Go to your family and your elders and get help. And if you're inspired by the things I say, well, thank you. Thank you. And I pray that we can be connected somehow. You can visit me at my website, www.graygrass.org. Graygrass is spelled G-R-E-Y-G-R-A-S-S. Send me an email, send me a note in snail mail. Thank you all. And my prayers are for Rural Lakota, for peace and health and wellness. Snail mail is P.O. Box 952, Ashland, Oregon, 97520. Aho, pilamia mitakuye, ho mitakuye oyasin.
By listening to Yat Kedichi Native Centers, Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices focuses on protecting Mother Earth and defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples. We are broadcasting on Radio for Peace International. Radio for Peace is the voice of peace, promoter of the environment, champion of human rights, denouncer of hate and injustice, advocate of the oppressed, defender of truth. Radio for Peace International is global community radio.
Dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain Native Radio. I want to sincerely thank my brother here, Robert Graygrass, for sharing his spirit with us. And I really enjoyed his visit to our home and studio here at Yat Kedichi Native Center. Next week, we will be featuring a very special interview with Mohawk Traditional Chief Larry King from the Akwesasne Council of Mohawks. He is one of the representatives of an upcoming Akwesasne United Nations World Youth Peace Summit, and I had an opportunity to talk with him at the National Congress of American Indians Conference, where we spoke about this very important worldwide youth summit that Akwesasne will host. Speaking of the Haudenosaunee and the Mohawk people, we shall conclude today's program with my Mohawk friend Howard Lyons' very special song entitled For Seventh Generation from his Sound of America record Spirit Walk. Until the next Wolf Mountain Native Radio, this is your host and producer, Ernest Pritzker, thanking you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. Aho, Kinaw Montagwesin, to all of our relations.
ourselves properly in accordance to the ancient ways that have been entrusted to us. We preserve our strength for the words, for the song.